Up on Lakey Hill, Philip Archer and Benson are busy clearing another few acres with the crawler tractor when they're interrupted by the arrival of Mrs. Fairbrother riding Grace's mare, Flash. She takes Philip on one side and asks him what Grace has on her mind at the moment, because instead of the reserved, cool manner which she usually adopts towards her stepmother, Grace has suddenly become particularly friendly and anxious to please.
Jolly good thing, too. About time everything settled itself back to normal.
Now then, Philip Archer, this isn't normality, and you know it isn't. There's something behind all this. What is it? Do you know? Because I tell you quite frankly, I'm getting worried.
I don't know, I'm sure. You were worried when Grace was cool and standoffish, and now you're worried because she's the opposite. I think perhaps you worry too much, Mrs. Fairbrother. I should just take things as they come.
You mean you don't intend to tell me what's in the wind?
Honestly, Mrs. Fairbrother, cross my heart, I haven't a clue what's running round the back of Grace's mind. She's completely unpredictable, that girl.
She's that all right? When I think how sweet and friendly she used to be towards me 6 months ago.
Oh, when she was trying to marry you off to her dad, you mean?
Yes. We got along wonderfully well together then. Now I'm married to her father, I can't seem to get on with her at all. Heaven knows I try hard enough for everybody's sake.
I really don't see what you're worrying yourself about. As I understand it, Grace feels free to map out her own life at last because she hasn't the responsibility of looking after her father anymore.
Well, in that case, you'd think we'd get along like a house on fire, wouldn't you?
That's exactly how you are now, surely. You just told me she's doing everything she can to be nice and matey. Well, there you are.
She's behaving like that because she's proposing to do something drastic that will involve a lot of opposition from her father.
Hmm?
So she's going to make an ally of me first, before the storm breaks. That's what it is.
I know, do you know that?
Call it womanly intuition. But I'm sure I'm right.
Hey, just a minute. Yes. She came over to Brookfield yesterday, especially to see Chris. And when I asked Chris what it was all about, she was very cagey. More or less told me to mind my own business.
Oh, well, if Christine's involved, I'm not so worried. She's steady enough.
Who are, Chris? Steady? She's about as steady as a rowing boat in a gale.
Oh, no, that's unfair.
Hmm. I wonder if they are hatching something up between them.
Well, as long as it doesn't involve Grace leaving home. That's what worries me, Philip.
Why? She's a big girl now, you know.
No, it isn't that. Just the fact of leaving home. It's the awful thought that I've driven her away.
Oh, no.
Oh, here's George. He said he'd be coming over this morning. And here am I, wasting his manager's time gossiping about his daughter.
Well, I'll do a bit of prodding and probing at home.
Yes, do.
See whether I can find out what they're cooking up. But whatever it is, I shouldn't let it worry you.
No. Maybe I'm stupid to let it bother me. But I can't help it. No, Flash, steady. Tell me a car. You've seen cars before.
Well, here's a fine thing. We've only been married 3 or 4 weeks, and my wife's making up to my farm manager.
Morning, sir. Everything all right?
Fine. No problems. You've got any?
Oh, no, at the moment.
Why, hello there, Flash, old girl. Certainly changed to see you riding Flash, my dear.
Grace very kindly asked me if I'd like to give the horse a bit of exercise, and myself into the bargain.
Mm. Getting very friendly all of a sudden, isn't you?
What nonsense. I think it's very thoughtful of her, and I appreciate it.
I mean, it seems a sudden change of front. What's behind it?
What a thing to say, George. There's nothing behind it at all. I'm surprised that you're suggesting that Grace has an ulterior motive in trying to be friendly. Really. Did you say something, Philip?
No, something in the back of my throat.
Well, I must be off anyway, or Flash will be getting chilly. See you at lunch, George. 1 o'clock sharp. But I do mean sharp.
Always bullying me. You see what happens, Philip?
Hmm?
Nicest pie before you marry them. Then they chase you around from morning till night.
Well, it's time somebody did.
All right, I forget, my dear.
Thank you. 1 o'clock, George. Don't forget.
Right.
Bye, Philip.
Bye, Mrs. Fairbrother.
Ah, well, funny creatures, women, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Life would be dreary without them, though, I think.
I see what you mean. They're all right so long as you don't try to understand them. That's when you land yourself in trouble.
I couldn't agree more.
Take Grace now. She behaves most oddly towards Helen and myself and, distantly polite. Then suddenly, the sun's shining, Grace is smiling, and everybody's happy. I don't like it.
Well, what more could you want than that?
Hmm? I've known that young madam too long. There's something on the cards, Philip. Mark my words. Helen doesn't think so, fortunately, but I can read the signs. Now, don't you say anything to Mrs. Fairbrother about it. It's only worry, huh?
Oh, no, sir. I wouldn't want to do that.
Still, I didn't come out here to talk about young Grace. Why, damn it, I did. That's the point. It's about the poultry.
Mm-hmm.
She's cooled off a bit on that job, hasn't she?
Well, to be honest, sir, she's cooled off quite a lot.
I'm not surprised. You should tell her off, you know.
Well, I already have, in a nice way.
Nice way be hanged. Tell her off in a nasty way. She'd take a lot more notice. In any case, she's not experienced enough for the job, is she? Oh, by the way, how's young Terry making out?
Oh, he's a good enough lad, sir. Does as he's told, but his heart's with old Angus and the dairy herd. He's not really keen on the poultry. Besides, Angus couldn't spare him all that much.
Hmm. And you're pretty tied up out here, aren't you, just now?
Yes. We can stooge along, all right. It isn't that, but... Well, it's the experimental side of the poultry that we're losing on now, and I wanted to try all sorts of schemes.
Expensive schemes, I suppose.
Oh, no, not at all, no, on the contrary. One or two different feeding methods. But it all means records. You've got to keep a check on what you're doing.
Well, at least Grace should have coped with that. Always talking about wanting a job, and when she's got one, she neglects it.
Well, it isn't everybody's idea of fun, poultry keeping.
She shouldn't have taken on the job. You want to talk to her like a Dutch uncle, my lad. She'll take more notice of you than she does of me.
Oh, wouldn't say that.
Well, I would. I think you'd better ring up the Harper Adams College and see whether they've got someone as good as Jane Maxwell.
Right.
But, Philip.
Yes, sir?
This time, choose a girl who's nice and plain and ordinary-looking.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody with a face like the back of a bus. I don't think it pays to mix glamour and poultry, if you see what I mean?
I think I get what you're driving at.
Look, Simon, lad, you can leave the pigs to me.
Well, the afternoon milking gaffer, and then there's...
Chris will be back before then. You get along to the small holding.
Oh, righto. When are you reckoning to transfer the poultry from the small holding up to here?
Well, we can get the battery house shifted up here quick as you like. But I'll have to extend that deep letter place of mine to absorb the hens from Jack's.
Ah.
Can't squash them all in the present building. You need 3 square feet per bird for the best results.
Well, we ain't short of timber anyway.
Ah, it isn't the materials, it's the labour. You can't spare the time from the small holding, and I'm up to me neck.
Aye.
Thank goodness we've got Chris. But she can't build hen houses, bless her.
No, Gaffer. But she can take the other work off your shoulders while you build them.
Aye.
Chris back yet, Sam?
Not yet, love. Why?
Oh, Grace wanted her. But I said she'd be back from Borchester any minute.
Is Grace here, then?
No, she was on the phone. She's coming down, though. What's Chris getting for you?
Some spectacles for the hens.
Eh?
Yes, spectacles for the hens. One or two of them have started pulling each other's feathers out.
Mm.
So she'd got to go into Borchester anyway. I told her to bring some. Warings have got them. Hope she doesn't forget.
I don't know, Mrs. First, Christine wants to give them electric light at night so as they can read in bed. And now Gaffer's providing them with spectacles so as they wouldn't strain their eyes. I don't know what farming's coming to, that I don't.
Oh, I do think they look funny wearing those rubber specs. See about 8 or 10 of them all together trying to look at each other over the tops of their glasses. Just like a clergyman's committee meeting. that reminds me. The vicar phoned. Mustn't forget to tell Phil.
What's he want?
Oh, a cricket meeting or something tonight.
Phil knows about that.
Yes, but Mike Daly's got to see the man at the Cat and the Fiddle on the Hollerton Road about something or other.
Uh-huh.
And the vicar's got to be out that way tonight as well, so they suggest Phil should meet them at the Cat and Fiddle instead of the Bull.
Oh.
It's all very involved.
Well, don't forget to tell him, or he'll be hanging about at the Bull for him.
Oh, all right. I'll tie a knot in the handkerchief. Oh, left it in the house.
Here, tie a knot in mine instead.
Oh, Dan Archer, look at that handkerchief. Oh, I'd be ashamed.
Eh?
Here, give it to me. The very idea. What have you been doing with it? Cleaning out the pigsties?
I only wiped over the windscreen of the car.
Then you wonder why it costs me a small fortune keeping you in hankies.
Mm.
Oh, look at this. It'll never come out. It's oil or grease or something. Oh, really, Dan, you are too bad.
Well, there's no need to nag like that.
Well, you ask for it.
Oh, dear.
Simon, tell Bess I'll pop down and give her a hand with the eggs tonight, will you?
Oh, thanks, Missus. She'd be glad of another pair of hands.
Of course, if you'd got an employer who really thought anything of his workers, there'd be an egg-washing machine installed. Save hours of work.
Oh, my Lord, don't you start on that.
Well, it's right enough. Wiping every egg with a damp cloth. Talk about old-fashioned.
Hey, look, love, you've got a nice bit of money tucked away in the bank.
Eh?
Suppose you treat us to a nice egg-washing machine, eh?
That's the idea, Gaffer.
Yes, and he'd take it, too. My little bit of savings.
You see, Simon, when it comes to spending your own money, it's different. Same with our Chris. But their dab hands are telling me how to spend my money.
The chief cost in farming is labour.
Hmm?
So you should use labour-saving machines whenever you can.
How could this, Simon? Doris has been reading a book or something.
You'll be surprised how much I do know. But I'm right about the egg washing machine. You look into it.
Well, you go ahead and buy it if you're all that keen.
Oh, not I. I'm saving up for a clothes washing machine. Blow you and your mucky egg.
What?
Now, if somebody had only invented a machine what would wash eggs in one side and clothes in t'other, there'd be a fortune in it, Gary. Then you could get the hens sitting on top, laying their eggs direct into it, or wearing the specs so as they could see what was going on.
Here, come out the road, guys. Cag Maggie in here as though we've got nothing better to do. Let them workers will love. And if you stick around here much longer, we'll find you a job.
Oh, dear.
Just look at that old fool of a snack. Get over
there. Oh, thanks, Grace. Thank goodness you were at Brookfield.
Anytime you want a taxi, just phone through.
Right. Fancy Mum forgetting to give me the vicar's message until that time. Another 2 minutes and I'd have gone away to the Bull to sit there waiting for people who'd never appear.
Any use waiting for you now?
No, look, you carry on, sweetheart. I don't know how long I shall be. Thanks very much for the lift, though.
Well, I'll get off back to Brookfield, then.
To have another quiet chat with Chris, eh?
Any objections?
No, no. I'd like to know what you two are plotting, that's all.
Not plotting anything, don't be silly.
What about this sudden change of attitude towards Mrs... your stepmother?
Who told you there was a change of attitude?
Eh? Well, I noticed it myself.
When? You haven't seen us together for 2 days. And the change didn't start till yesterday.
Ah, so there has been a change, then.
Has she been getting at you?
Getting at... what are you talking about?
Oh, nothing.
What's going on, Grace? Tell Uncle Phil. Come on, now, be a pal.
So that you can go running to her and tell her my business. Oh, no fear.
Sorry, wish I hadn't mentioned it. Forget it.
That's all right, it's forgotten.
By the way, Grace, poultry.
Oh, yes, I meant to tell you. You'll have to get someone else, Phil. I shan't have time to carry on with that.
Well, you haven't been putting all that much time into the job, from what I can see.
I've done my best.
Hmm.
I suppose you think it's a pretty poor best.
Why won't you have time to carry on?
Because I shan't.
What else will you be doing, then?
Oh, look, there's Mike Daly and the vicar. Run along now and talk about cricket. You're late already.
Ah, so you won't talk, eh?
Not at the moment. And I won't pursue this conversation any further, because... if we do, we might quarrel, and that'd never do.
Come along now, Philip. The reverend gentleman and himself have been working up an overpowering thirst, waiting on your good telling.
Coming. Cheerio then, Grace. But you be careful what you're up to. And you won't forget, will you, that Dad's absolutely relying on Chris to help him out at Brookfield. Bye for now.
Bye, Phil.
Ah, there you are, Philip.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry to keep you hanging about like this, Vicar, but I didn't get your message till 20 minutes ago. Mum forgot it.
That's all right. Daly and I have been chatting. At least I've been doing the chatting, trying to get Mike here to tell me a bit about himself.
Oh.
But I haven't got very far.
Oh, the reason being that there's so little to tell, Vicar. Now, shall we go inside? Would it be more pleasant to sit out here and talk?
Well, I... gosh, this bloke's travelling.
Positive roadhog.
What in the name of St. Patrick? Oh, look at the dust.
Good Lord, man. Do you have to brake like that? You've smothered us with dust.
Sorry, old boy. I didn't think.
Absurd way to treat a car, anyway.
Well, still, I was sorry. Here, come inside and I'll buy you a pint to square it. Why, look who's here. Mr. Michael Daly, the mystery man of Enbridge.
You don't remember having had the pleasure... oh, no, just a minute.
Remember the point to point? Remember me, Trentham? I said we'd meet again, didn't I? And we've met. I've a few things I want to say to you, Mr. Michael Daly. Is that your real name?